We are on a slippery slope, and that is always ominous.
They're protesting the federal government's vaccine mandates for cross-border truckers, among other things. That mandate took effect on January 15th, preparatory to a worldwide digital travel pass, internal passports for everybody linked to your health status, but not limited to your health status. If you can't see the future in clear outline right now, you're not paying attention. But the truckers in Canada can.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with Leo Homan, investigative journalist and freelance writer. His weekly reports offer tremendous insights into our times and just what might be going on behind the scenes. They talk about many current issues this hour. Here is today's programming.
Glad you can join me today for Understanding the Times Radio. I'm talking with independent journalist and freelance writer and investigative reporter Leo Homan here for the hour. I have him on 2-3 times a year to talk about the issues he's featuring, and I'll give contact info to Leo here a little bit later. Obviously, if you're following the news at all, you are seeing, as am I, that a lot of people are saying enough is enough, enough COVID chaos, enough government overreach, and enough of being told you'll own nothing and be happy. Well, who believes that? And what we're seeing, particularly in Canada, we're seeing that kind of enthusiasm spread all over the world. It's spreading as far as Israel, Brazil, and my understanding is coming to America in a couple of weeks here. So what we're seeing is parts of the world push back, cry for freedom, demand a cessation to mandates, and just say, we're not going to take it anymore. Leo Homan writes a lot about these issues. We'll talk about them. And you know, I believe this is all a setup for the tribulation. Today's totalitarianism is setting the stage for the ultimate dictator, Mr. Antichrist, who believers, of course, will never meet. Leo, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Jan.
As I said here, Leo, good freedom-loving, well, let's start with Canadians, have had enough of leftist lunacy of a near-communist dictator, Mr. Trudeau. They've had enough with forced vaccinations, forced confinement, and closed borders, and encouragingly enough, this is spreading.
Yes, it really is. And what's wonderful about it, Jan, is it started as a completely organic movement. There's no political party in Canada that has supported this movement of truckers saying that they want their freedom back. Just to see the videos on the different YouTube channels, Rumble channels, showing millions of people coming out of their homes and lining the streets as these truckers made their way in this convoy towards the capital of Ottawa was really inspiring. These were, like you said, really good salt-of-the-earth patriotic Canadians of probably both parties, conservative, liberal, but they're just tired of the mandates. They're tired of this, quote, new normal that, as we know, all comes down from the World Economic Forum and the United Nations.
I'm going to be reading a few paragraphs, and you write this, Leo. You say, people embrace freedom, and they flourish whenever freedom prevails, but many were beginning to forget what freedom felt like. Thank you, Canadian truckers, for reminding us what freedom feels like. And you say, regardless of what happens next, there's no turning back. The clock on the fact that the long-awaited resistance is now underway, courage is contagious, and we now have an army of courageous people liberated from their fear by what started as a few hundred truck drivers, and by the way, spread to ranchers and farmers and cowboys and more. Where do you see this going, Leo Homan?
Yes, we've even seen farmers coming in on horseback and on tractors and helping with the truckers, and it really seems to be spreading. As you mentioned, it's coming to America. There's a movement being organized as we speak to move, I believe, from California across the nation to Washington, D.C. I think Joe Biden is probably shaking in his boots. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he'll go into hiding like Justin Trudeau did. But the response from the Trudeau government, I think, was really telling. From the very outset, before the convoy even arrived in Ottawa, he made his position clear that he would not talk to them. and he called them a small fringe minority whose views are unacceptable. Now, who is the government to be telling us which views are acceptable and non-acceptable? This is part of their new normal that I think a lot of people were not prepared for. They knew that there was the social distancing and the mask wearing and the lockdowns, but at what point did we lose our freedom of speech? And that's where we seem to be moving with this, and some very troubling things coming out of our own Department of Homeland Security.
I want to visit that in just a minute. I'm reading another paragraph of yours. You say what's transpired over the last few weeks in Canada is unique in history. I can't think of anything this potentially transformational, not even the Polish uprising that kicked off the shackles of the Soviet communism had touched off the beginning of the collapse of that system's hold over the whole Eastern Europe. You say, I'm so proud of Canada. God often chooses the least expected persons to lead his people out of bondage. I want to play a quick clip here and then come back and talk about it, Leo. It happens to be Tucker Carlson, who's covered this quite well on his Evening Fox program.
So up in Canada, the convoy of truckers converging on Ottawa to keep that nation free is growing larger by the day. They left from Vancouver on the western side of the country. They're protesting the federal government's vaccine mandates for cross-border truckers, among other things. That mandate took effect on January 15th, preparatory to a worldwide digital travel pass, internal passports for everybody linked to your health status, but not limited to your health status. If you can't see the future in clear outline right now, you're not paying attention. But the truckers in Canada can. The Canadian Trucking Alliance estimates that roughly 16,000 truckers in Canada are not vaccinated. That convoy also includes truckers who are vaccinated, but who aren't going to stand for tyranny. Here's what the convoy looks like.
This started with vaccine mandates, but for most here, it's about a lot more.
I think this is more of a freedom movement.
Well over 1,000 people lining the Trans-Canada Highway outside of Winnipeg in minus 30 wind chills, protesting what they call government overreach.
Somebody has to stand up for Canada, and the truckers are doing it.
It all started a couple days ago in Delta, BC, truckers protesting vaccine mandates at the border. Now, as the convoy logs more kilometers, it's getting more support.
We're just really tired of getting our freedoms trampled on.
It's worth sticking up for what you believe in.
Arriving outside Winnipeg, hundreds of vehicles taking more than an hour to pass.
We came from Calgary.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
It's awesome. To take our country back.
As it rambled by, no one was hit. It was peaceful. Salvatore Vetro has followed since BC.
It's a togetherness like I've never felt before.
And it keeps growing.
And thank God it keeps growing. So what's the reaction been like from our media gatekeepers? Well, a cartoonist for the Washington Post accused the truck drivers of fascism. There's the cartoon on your screen. So a paid vassal for the world's richest man, a man who supports censorship and crushing anyone who doesn't agree with him, who treats his own legions of workers like serfs, a guy who works for that man is telling you that people who peacefully assemble to express political opinions are, quote, fascists. Really, who's the fascist? Al. Sheldon Andreas is not a fascist. He's a pastor. He's also a trucker. He's a member of the Freedom Convoy, and we're grateful to have him join us tonight from Ontario. Mr. Andreas, thanks so much for coming on. A fascist, really. So tell us why you're doing this, if you would.
Mostly for the same reasons that a lot of these other guys are out here doing this. There's just been a stifling of freedom and a stifling of unity in Canada for 2 years. A lot of people are down. A lot of people are fired. Man, you can't even go into a grocery store without getting into an argument about a mask or whatnot. What really drove me to do this is the smiling faces that I seen on the people that organized it. Like, a good friend of mine helped to put this together. And it's just been wonderful to see all the smiling faces that have come together. And it doesn't matter. Christians, non-Christians, all sorts. The natives are out with banging their drums. Just a wonderful sensation to see unity once again in Canada.
It's beautiful to watch from below your border, I have to say. You're being snarled at, but you're smiling back. The government seems to be doing all it can to prevent you from peacefully protesting its, speaking of fascist, policies. But you're doing it anyway. Are you worried about the repercussions?
Not at all. Some of my friends have been arrested for pastoring their churches. We're fully prepared to smile and push through for the greater good, Tucker. We want to see Christ glorified in the church and out of the church. So we're pushing forward. Come with me.
Let me just say, you seem much more like a civil rights hero than a fascist to me. Are any media in Canada supporting you, or at least arguing that you should have a right to express your views.
Not that I know of, Tucker. I think maybe Rebel News is putting out some positive stuff about the movement, but the mainline media is much the same in the USA. These guys are not our friends. They're coming after us. They're slandering really good people. Man, some of the stuff they're saying about really good people dragging their names through the mud, it's shameful. So no fascists here. Moms and dads and kids standing around a bonfire beside me where the convoy came through here about half an hour ago, standing here with their kids enjoying a fire with people they haven't got to hang out with for a very long time.
I gotta say, it's just so thrilling to see this, having watched Canada, it was such a beautiful country, a wonderful country, descend into this darkness, and to see someone like you standing up cheerfully is really affirming. So thank you. Sheldon Andreas, good luck.
You're welcome, Tucker. Thank you.
Leah Holman, my concern is that Canada will not allow them to take their country back because at the heart of some of Canada's leadership is complete totalitarianism. Now we see Canada's Prime Minister Trudeau power grabbing even more using the Emergencies Act to come against this freedom movement. Trudeau announced the use of this act for the first time in history earlier this week. The act, which came into law back in 1988, allows Trudeau to invoke various measures that could end the trucker protests.
Justin Trudeau is a graduate of Klaus Schwab's Young Global Leaders Movement. He has weaponized the media against these people. We have a video of him on YouTube where he brags about how he owns the Canadian media because he offered $650 million in bailout money to them when several were on the verge of collapsing. And the Canadian government, using Canadian taxpayer dollars, directly funds the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. The media and the government are essentially the same thing in Canada. We've seen how it's been weaponized against these farmers, these truckers, these workers, just good working class people who, if you were a good leftist, you would think you would be supporting the working people, right? But we've seen the mask is now off, and these leftists are in bed with big corporations and big governments and big unions.
Well, if this is indeed coming to America, a similar convoy, and my understanding is it is sometime, perhaps early March, probably going cross-country. My concern, and I think you share my concern based on reading the various things you write, my concern goes back to the reaction to January 6th that the left is going to way overreact and could turn on the convoy that may be taking place in America in a few weeks.
Yes, we see the same type of language being used by the Trudeau government and the Canadian media as was used by the Biden administration and the American media against the January 6th movement. They're called insurrectionists. They're called violent rioters, Nazis, white supremacists, even though nothing could be further from the truth. They found one Nazi flag in the Ottawa trucker protest movement. One person held a flag, and we know that was probably a plant put in there by the Trudeau socialist government. And they used that one picture to try to demonize an entire group of women, children, parents, grandfathers, and workers and truckers. Really astonishing, but it's the same MO that we saw with the January 6th movement.
And my concern is that the January 6th mentality, at least from the left, is going to be pretty hostile to any freedom effort here in America. We'll see. That's scheduled to happen sometime very early spring, perhaps the month of March. I do have one email I want to read, and it's from a gal. Actually, I met them when I spoke in Toronto a couple of years ago, and some folks, I think they came from every province. It was a conference with the Mirror and Jack Hibbs and Barry Stagner and myself in Toronto a couple of years ago. And this gal from the Yukon came, believe it or not. And she writes here in the last couple of days, she says, "Hello to all from our family up in the Yukon. Years ago, I asked you to pray for Canada. As Trudeau got elected and I could see that Canada was in massive trouble, I grieved for our country already then. So much has happened. We can no longer fly or eat out. Believing friends gather under the radar. The Yukon is majority liberal, fearful, and cruel in its fear. Masks are everywhere. The Yukon churches have not taken a stand and are nowhere to be seen. I am on leave. My husband is on leave." I'm keeping this anonymous as she asked me to not use her name. And she says, "Now our heroic truckers and farmers and cowboys are taking a stand. And it's wonderful to see. I know my Bible. I know that whatever reprieve that is gained will be short-lived. But please pray that this movement will wake up our family and friends so that they might see and understand that they have been deceived. Pray that they become truth seekers and in so doing come to faith in the truth, our Savior and Lord Jesus. Please pray that we remember that as we participate in freedom convoys and rallies, that we find opportunities to share the Lord with folks and lead them to the ultimate freedom, Maranatha. And one more quick email from Donna in Ontario. She says, I have seen people come to faith in Jesus, truckers who were atheists before this convoy. I have met incredible people from all walks of life. We have been hugged more in 2 weeks than we have in 2 years. We have seen people with tears in their eyes, tears of joy, because for the first time in a long time, they feel free. We have seen believers and non-believers gather around the centennial flame, which the Prime Minister extinguished, and pray and sing hymns. It's like seeing the Holy Spirit in action. This is the sentiment, at least, of the believers in Canada. And again, folks, this movement is spreading around the world, and it's about time. And I'm sure, Leo, you would agree, it's about time.
Yes, like Tucker said in that clip you played, this is about a lot more than health passports.
Yeah.
Because as these passports get ubiquitous and become acceptable as part of the, quote, new normal, they're going to start adding other personal data to the passports. It will include all of your health information. It will include your driving record, your education record. Everything that you now consider part of your private confidential information will be on these passports. And we cannot allow this to be normalized, Jan. If we do, then how are we going to be any different than communist China?
I agree. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from the East Coast, Leo Homan, independent journalist. You can learn more and sign up for his articles once or twice a week. They come out leohoman.com, H-O-H-M-A-N-N, leohoman.com. Great insight onto the tide of our times. And Leo, one of your more recent articles, I'll let you summarize it because it came out in the last day, so I wasn't able to include it in my notes here, but it's important. And that's all about this loss of free speech. And now we're bringing that story back here to America. Why don't you summarize what you just wrote?
As I said, part of this new global tyranny that we're experiencing, and it is global, that's why I said it's bigger even than what happened with the fall of the communists in Eastern Europe. A big part of it is the loss not only of your privacy, which we've already discussed, but a loss of your personal freedom of speech. It goes back to the Marxist Hubert Marcuse, who was the inventor of an ideology where he talked about the cultural Marxists, and he talked about something he described as repressive tolerance. Free speech for me, but not for thee. If you're speaking in your teaching and your writing and your ideas line up with the ideas of the dictator, then you have what's called free speech. But as soon as you cross over the line to become a dissenter and you start to question the authorities and you're questioning the direction that your country is going in, then you get called a promoter of misinformation or disinformation. And Department of Homeland Security came out with a new National Terrorism Advisory Bulletin in which they said people will be considered potential terrorists who put out misinformation, disinformation, or what they call malinformation. So now we're getting into a situation where the government gets to decide what is acceptable or non-acceptable speech, and they are criminalizing speech that does not line up with the government and the media narrative.
I'm going to transition here just a little bit, Leo. I hesitate leaving the push for freedom, which is, well, it's amazing, folks. Watching some of the videos online, some of the news broadcasts are covering them, but very little, but get it all online if you want. This is now going back 2 weeks ago to 2.5 weeks ago, and I want to talk about it for just a few minutes, Leo, and that is the Senator Ron Johnson hearing. He called it a second opinion, and it was a second opinion on COVID, and that's really what's prompting all of this activity going on, push for freedom, because folks have had enough of the repression. So Senator Ron Johnson, a second opinion, and many testified for, it was 5 hours, something's wrong with our healthcare system, and I've covered this on air here over the last many months. And again, not every member of the healthcare industry, some are pushing back, but it's very difficult. How COVID-19 has been handled, the media hype and the fear-driven agenda and doctors not allowed to be doctors. And we heard about these stories for 5 hours. And you've got a couple of articles, and I want to read a paragraph or two. But first, I want to play a clip and talk about it as well. This is actually a doctor at the Senator Johnson hearing standing up for patient rights. You'll hear him literally break down because all he wants to do is do what most doctors do, and that's help people. He's not allowed to.
So I can tell you what happened to me. So I was using our protocol to treat critically ill patients in the ICU with a whole host of repurposed drugs. I then, this is a memo sent to the entire healthcare system, but they targeted me personally. And what did this memo say? This said I can use remdesivir, and then I will quote. There was an added section. Do not endorse section, which includes medications that may cause harm and efficacy is not supported in peer-reviewed published RCTs. These medications will not be verified or dispensed for the prevention or treatment of COVID. This list includes ivermectin, bicalutamide, etoposide, fluvoxamine, dutasteride, and finasteride. And then just to stick it to me, they added ascorbic acid.
Otherwise known as...
The system was effectively preventing me treating my patients according to my best clinical judgment. And then how did this progress? I objected. So the first week I was in the ICU, I didn't know what to do. What was I to do? My hands were tied. As a clinician, for the first time in my entire career, I could not be a doctor. I could not treat patients the way I had to be to treat patients. I had 7 COVID patients, including a 31-year-old woman. I was not allowed to treat these people. I had to stand by idly. I had to stand by idly watching these people die. I then tried to sue the system. And you know what they did? They did something called peer sham review. It is a disgusting and evil concept. They then accused me of 7 most outrageous crimes that I had committed and that I was such a severe threat to the safety of patients. They immediately suspended my hospital privileges because I possessed and posed such an outright threat to these patients, ignoring the fact that under my care, the mortality was 50%, those of my colleagues. I then went on through the sham peer review. I went to a kangaroo court where they continued this, and the end result was I lost my hospital privilege and was reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank. So here I was standing up for patients' rights, and this hospital, this evil hospital, ended my medical career. So that's what they do. It's an outright outrage. It's evil to the core.
Leah Holman, I heard 5 hours of this. Perhaps you did too.
I did. And what that doctor is describing right there, Jan, is the ramifications of the CARES Act.
Yes.
Which was passed during the Trump administration, and it provides financial incentives for the hospitals to follow certain COVID protocols. What I'm saying is hospitals get money for a COVID diagnosis. Hospitals get about a 20% bonus if they prescribe remdesivir, which is a very dangerous experimental drug that's very harmful to the kidneys and other organs. They get another grant of federal money if they put a patient on a ventilator. Finally, if the patient dies of COVID with a COVID diagnosis, uncured, they get another round of money. Add it all up, they can make up to $100,000 on a single patient if they follow the incentives put forth by the Federal CARES Act.
Well, I think you emphasized the proper issue, and that is the federal government asking the hospitals to do this. And I'm not sure that the hospitals have a choice in all this. But what I'm noticing, Leo, is that people are moving on from COVID. People have had enough. Even the vaccine passports, we opened here talking about Canada, vaccine passports are ending here now in Alberta. They've said enough. They're saying enough is enough all over the world. Boris Johnson and others are saying no more. We've got to move on, which I find quite encouraging.
Some nations are backing off of the mandates, Jan, while other nations are doubling down.
That's true.
Austria and Italy are two that are doubling down and tripling down. It is illegal as of February 1st to be an unvaccinated adult in the nation of Austria, and you will be hit with extensive fines if you continue to be unvaccinated. There is a province in Canada, I don't remember which one it was, but they have the vaccine mandates in place, and it's unbelievable how it works. If you walk into a big box store, say a Walmart or a Costco, and they scan your phone and they find out that you're not vaccinated, you don't have the correct code on your app, you're either not vaccinated or you've had one or two shots but you don't have the booster, you will now have a store employee assigned to follow you around the store while you shop to make sure that you only buy what the government defines as essential goods, food and pharmaceuticals. So the government is telling you what you can and can't buy based on your vaccine status. This is the type of medical tyranny that we're now talking about in the world. Not just one or two countries, but others are backing off. The UK, Israel, I believe, has dropped its mandates. It's yet to be determined if this is a temporary pullback of the tyrannical boot from our foreheads or if it's going to be permanent. I tend to think that they're backing off because they're getting a lot of blowback right now. But the way these things tend to work is once a new variant comes along, maybe more dangerous than Omicron, then they'll put the mandates back in place.
Well, I'm going to play another clip when we get back, possibly two, depending on time here, from the Johnson hearing, which, again, this is 2.5 weeks ago now. Senator Ron Johnson called a second opinion, and a number of medical professionals testified and said, please let us do our jobs. Many within the medical community are not allowed to do their jobs, which is, I'm sure, a tragedy and breaking their hearts. As you heard that physician, his voice cracked as he tried to tell that he wants to do what he was trained to do. I often talk about the fact that we have a video version of this program, which we do. It's on Rumble. It's on YouTube. This program, folks, will not be on YouTube because of censorship. It's on his channel and other places and posted to our website. So just a heads up there that there are some options for you. It's including our 900 radio stations. Now, I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes, and I want to play one more clip from Senator Johnson's hearing. Then I want to talk about where are the globalists going next. I've got an opinion that I'd like to talk about, and I know Leo has an opinion as well. How about a climate lockdown? Did you think that's a possibility? Oh, I think they are next. Yes, I do. And I'll explain why in just a minute, so don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We are carrying a new and timely product produced by Pastor Billy Crone, a DVD set entitled, Are You Ready for the Rapture? A 9-DVD set. Laugh, mock, and scoff all you want, but if there's one thing the Bible is clear about, millions of people, specifically Christians, will suddenly disappear from this planet in an immediate flash of events. They will be raptured straight into heaven itself by the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, most of our world not only ignores this profound biblical truth, including God's warning to not be left behind, but sadly, even those who profess to be Christians today act like it won't happen anytime soon. Therefore, this study, Are You Ready for the Rapture?, seeks to equip you with the many biblical truths concerning this supernatural departure. Find it in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. or call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. It will also be offered in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online.
Whether it be climate change or constant war-making around the world, they intend to keep us in crisis, keep us confused, keep us divided. The more chaos that reigns in the world, the more they are able to get these radical new policies in place.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so catch Understanding the Times Radio at your convenience online. Watch the video version of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org. Then to complete archives on YouTube, on Rumble, on LightSource, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now let's wrap up today's conversation with Leo Holman.
Even though I founded American Frontline Nurses, I traveled extensively to South America, India, and South Africa, working in hot zones, stopping the spread of the virus, and working with early intervention. And nowhere in those countries, in developing nations, do I see these issues that we see here in the United States. I'm a very proud American citizen. I come from a family of immigrants, and my mother told me that the United States is the best country in the world, though granted I am biased being an American. And our level of healthcare has been deteriorated to substandard third world nation healthcare, whereas I tell people you are better off in South America in a field hospital than you are in level one trauma designer hospitals in the United States. As nurses, we are getting reports across the country from our American frontline nurses about patients not getting food, patients not getting water. How come a patient hasn't been fed in 9 days? Why do I need to get a court order to force a hospital to feed a person who isn't intubated and who's literally telling you they would like food? Oh, well, you can't take your BiPAP mask off. Well, that's what us nurses are for. We're going to help you take that off and we're going to help you eat, but we're not allowed to. If they're on a ventilator, they're not getting basic standards of care. I've had patients that haven't been bathed, haven't been fed, haven't been given water, haven't been turned. And if you ask me, this isn't a hospital, this is a concentration camp. Absolutely it is. Nowhere in the United States do we isolate people for hundreds of hours at a time with no human contact. It's not even allowed in the prisons. You are not allowed to isolate a prisoner for beyond a certain extensive amount of time because it is horrible for their mental health and is considered inhumane. However, in these hospitals now, we're allowed to isolate patients from their families for days, and you have to say goodbye to them over an iPhone, as Jennifer Bridges has just demonstrated to us, or she has to shuttle people in to see. And personally, I was fired for sneaking a Hispanic family in to say the last rites to their family. And so thank you, Senator Johnson, for giving nurses the opportunity to come and represent our patients, because as you can see, we're not often thought of as leading professionals, though we are the missing link between the doctors and the patients. So thank you so much for this time.
That was a second opinion, Senator Ron Johnson's seminar 2.5 weeks ago in Washington, where 5 hours of that kind of testimony. Leo, your thoughts on what you just heard?
That nurse was very eloquent. She was one of the nurses who responded voluntarily to that initial wave of COVID that hit New York City in the early months of 2020. As you recall, there was a lot of elderly people in the hospitals. Right. They were putting them back into nursing homes after they were infected. It was a real debacle. But another thing that she said that I didn't hear as part of the clip is that hardly any of those people who died in New York City's largest hospitals in 2020 died of COVID. They died, she said, from neglect and medical malfeasance. That is something that should not be tolerated in a country like the United States, a superpower of the free world. And like she said, in many respects, our healthcare system has been degraded to the point where it is much worse than some of the third world and second world countries.
Could you envision any of this happening, say, 2 years ago when all of this hit the fan?
No, I never would have expected. I knew that the elites were trying to bring in a new digital system because we had a lot of the documents out there with Agenda 2030 and many of the other documents. But I didn't know that it would be coming in on the heels of a health crisis, on a pandemic. As I look back on it now, it should have been obvious. Some of the other documents hinted at it. The Rockefeller Foundation paper called Lockstep went into this whole scenario back in 2010, where they described a global coronavirus pandemic that would come out of China, and people's freedoms would be severely limited, and governments would become more authoritarian, and China would have the best model, they said, because they're the most authoritarian and would have the most ability to do lockdowns and mandates and all the things that needed to be done to control a global pandemic. So they really glorified the Chinese system in this Rockefeller-funded white paper. So we should have saw it coming, but we didn't. But I see them using three things to bring in this new digital economy and this new social structure. And that is, one, pandemics, whether real or manufactured. Number two, war. And number three, climate change. Those are the three crises or hysterical type situations that they hope to use fear generated by war, pandemics, and climate change to get this agenda through.
And I'm talking for the hour to Leo Homan. Learn more at his website. Sign up for his articles, leohoman.com. But you've quoted John Whitehead, very respected leader of Rutherford Institute. Let me read three very short paragraphs. The danger signs are everywhere. And you quote him saying, "This is about what happens when good, generally decent people, distracted by manufactured crises, polarizing politics, and fighting that divides the populace into warring us versus them camps, fail to take note of the looming danger that threatens to wipe freedom from the map and place us all in chains." Whitehead says, "It's about what happens when any government is empowered to adopt a comply or suffer the consequences mindset that is enforced through mandates, lockdowns, penalties, detention centers, martial law, and to disregard the rights of the individual. The slippery slope begins in just this way, with propaganda campaigns about the public good being more important than individual liberty, and it ends with lockdowns and quarantine camps." Again, I'm quoting an article from Leo Homan. He is quoting John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. One more paragraph. Whitehead says, "Claudio Ronco, a 66-year-old Orthodox Jew and a specialist in certain kind of music, is trapped inside his house, unable to move about in public without a digital vaccination card. He says he can no longer board a plane, check into a hotel, eat at a restaurant, or get a coffee anywhere. He has been ostracized by friends, shut out by the public life, and will soon face monthly fines for insisting on his right to bodily integrity and individual freedom." He concludes, "This is the slippery slope. A government empowered to restrict movements, limit individual liberty, and isolate undesirables to prevent the spread of a disease is a government that has the power to lock down a country, label whole segments of the population a danger to national security, and force those undesirables, also known as extremists, dissidents, troublemakers, into isolation so they don't contaminate the rest of the populace." What he's saying, and I think what you're saying, Leo, is there's a slippery slope going on, and it's pretty terrifying in the natural.
It is. John really hit all of the high points in that article. But now is the time for all freedom lovers to stand up. I really feel like if we don't stand up now, then it's going to be too late. The elites have taken off their mask.
Yeah.
They're no longer as subtle about these things as they used to be. It used to be that they would bury their true intentions in some mundane documents filed over at the United Nations. But now it's really in our faces. When you can't go to a grocery store without a cop or a store employee following you around to make sure that you only buy essential items because you're not fully vaccinated, then something's wrong. And people will say, that's not happening in the United States. Well, guess what? 10 major cities have started down the road to the full vaccine passport system.
Mm-hmm.
So it is spreading one city at a time.
That's right. And that's why you and Mr. Whitehead and the Canadians and a lot of other places are calling for resistance. Quoting you here, Leo, this is your words. "We also need to dial in on the urgency of the moment. We need a hardened sense of resistance on the part of all prayer warriors, patriots, and freedom lovers, peaceful civil disobedience. I have been calling for the same for more than a year now, but so far we have seen no mass uprising, at least not in America. We will wait till it's possibly too late, like in France, Germany, Italy, Austria, Australia, Israel, and other countries where full-blown digital health passports have already been implemented, severely curtailing people's freedom of movement, of speech, and right to assemble. And then you conclude, I'm not talking about an uprising where people march around with signs in front of a Capitol. There's nothing wrong with that, but we need something more. We need mass resistance where people simply say no to the restrictions and go about life as they normally would. Take it from there, Leo.
What I'm talking about is we the people type uprising, not with signs necessarily and marches and protests and certainly not with guns or anything like that. But you look at what do we have as a bargaining chip, as a group of freedom-loving people, which you have to believe is at least 50% of America, right? We have, number one, our labor. If your employer is trying to get into your personal medical business, someplace they have no authority to go, you need to contact a lawyer and tell your employer that they have no business interfering in your personal medical decisions. When did that ever become a thing? It's not going to start now. We need to be very upfront with our employer. So our labor is one of the things that we hold as something of value that we can withhold rather than go into this new tyrannical system. Number two, our voice. We need to continue to speak out on social media, if we're on social media, with our families and our friends. We need to not be shy about speaking out on behalf of freedom, going to local school board meetings and council meetings and being a voice there. The more people who speak out, see, then the people who feel this way don't feel like they're alone in this struggle for keeping America free. And number three, I would say our spending habits is something that we can change and alter according to spending our money with companies that also value freedom. Use cash whenever possible. Part of the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum United Nations agenda is to digitize the economy,
right,
where they will have digital programmable money that can be shut off if you're not obedient to the state. We got a taste of that with the trucker movement where GoFundMe had $10 million donated to the truckers, and because they didn't like the trucker movement, what happened? GoFundMe said, that violates our community standards, so you're not going to get the $10 million. Do we want to live in a country like that where banks could do that to us? Jan Markell, we don't like your radio show, so we're going to shut down your bank account and not let you have access to your digital money. That's where this is all heading, folks. So we need to be careful who we spend money with. Use cash whenever possible and shop with small, independently owned businesses.
I maintain that the globalists always have a contingency plan. They knew people would protest and be in the streets, as they have been a few places. We focused early in the program on Canada. That's spreading. As I said, I named the countries where it's spreading. Probably the month of March is going to be a very active part of what we'll be watching in the U.S. I know you feel their ace in the hole is war, which you could very well be right, but I say the next step is climate and perhaps a climate lockdown. Let me let Tucker Carlson explain it. He does it so well. And then I want to come back and I want to dig deeper into this issue of the coming climate lockdowns.
So we're learning more now about the sad toll of the corona lockdowns in this country. According to Joe Biden, though, we could get another round of lockdowns. These for a crisis that's every bit as bad as the coronavirus, maybe worse. That crisis, of course, says Joe Biden, is climate change.
Today, I'm pleased to announce a team that will lead my administration's ambitious plan to address the existential threat of our time, climate change. Folks, we're in a crisis. Just like we need to be a unified nation in response to COVID-19, we need a unified national response to climate change. And from this crisis, from these crises, I should say, we need to seize the opportunity to build back and build back better than we were before.
A unified national response. It's involuntary. That's the one thing we know. What does it mean? Well, we're learning that a World Health Organization staffer has written a report saying that a climate lockdown could be called for. It's like a COVID lockdown, a climate lockdown. Mark Morano is an author who has written a lot about climate change. He founded Climate Depot. He joins us tonight. Mark, thanks so much for coming on. A climate lockdown. Now, I would laugh this off the table, except we all just lived through the last 18 months, so we know that anything is possible. What does this mean exactly?
Well, in my book, Green Fraud, I detail two chapters on this, Tucker. This is the climate activists were, first of all, jealous when the COVID lockdowns happened. They were beside themselves saying, how is this happening? Everyone from Greta Thunberg to John Kerry, UN officials. And then they started saying, we need to follow this. If we can shut down for a virus, we can shut down for climate. And that's what we're seeing. There's even academics in Australia proposing adding climate change to death certificates. And Bill Gates has said the death toll will be greater. So they're following every step of the way. And it's not just a professor here or someone in academia. We have a major UK report coming out. We have an international agency report that came out calling for essentially the same type of lockdowns, everything from restrictions on your thermostat to restrictions of moving. You can only fly in a climate emergency when it's, quote, morally justifiable. Kind of like a lockdown, you have to justify going to the store for essential services. They're going after freedom of movement. They're going after private car ownership. They're going after everything it means to be a free person and turning it over to the administrative state.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from the East Coast, Leo Homan, leohoman.com. Leo, a couple of thoughts here. I want your feedback. Okay, climate, I think, is the new religion. It's even been bought by the Evangelical Church, National Association of Evangelicals. A lot of them bought into climate change and global warming, etc. Give me your thoughts.
What a mouthful there from that guest of Tucker Carlson. He really hit on a lot of the issues right there related to climate change. Some other things that I would add, they're going after cash and the dollar. We already covered that. But another thing that they are going after is the automobile.
Yes.
Pete Buttigieg, yes. He is the Secretary of Transportation in the Biden administration. Very dangerous man. He is also a graduate of Klaus Schwab's
yes.
Young Global Leaders School. He has advocated taxing us by the mile. So instead of paying for gasoline at the pump and having a gas tax attached to your gasoline purchases, he says we should be taxed and pay a new tax based on how many miles we drive.
Yes.
So there's one strike against the automobile. In Biden's infrastructure bill, it's a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, and $17 billion of that money is allocated to what they call improving highway safety. And Mr. Buttigieg held a press conference about what he wants to do with that $17 billion. He wants to put in more bike paths, more walking paths, narrow the streets down and make them more favorable to self-driving cars. He wants most all the cars by 2030 to be electric cars that are data-driven. Everything that you do in one of these modern electric, partially autonomous cars is gathering data and sending it back somewhere to be stored about you, your personal driving data. You will be taxed by the mile. There's also something in that infrastructure bill that would require automobile makers to embed a kill switch in every vehicle they make by 2026, that a outside party will be able to monitor your driving habits, and if they don't like them, they can disable your vehicle.
Well, is all this then leading to the social credit score? We can't carry on life without a social credit score, and our credit score is based on using too much carbon or utilizing green energy, which is futile. That's never going to work. But that's where it's going, isn't it? The Chinese social credit score.
Yes, all of these things we've talked about, whether it be the digital programmable
sure.
money or the new digital programmable vehicles, it's all trackable and monitoring the user. It's part of the new digital economy that they knew people would not willingly accept, and that's why they need these continued crises, whether it be a pandemic that was leaked from a lab in China with funding from the United States, Dr. Fauci's agency, whether it be climate change or constant war-making around the world. They intend to keep us in crisis, keep us confused, keep us divided. The more chaos that reigns in the world, the more they are able to get these radical new policies in place. Because when people are afraid, confused, and seeing themselves slip into poverty, which is what this is also
right.
all about, because it's a big transfer of wealth, they're less able to fight these things.
You think war will be the next crisis. Why don't you explain what you mean?
Well, I'm just going by the current headlines. This could change, obviously, on a dime. But right now, Jan, it seems like they're angling for a major war in Eastern Europe. Whenever you see the entire media do a pivot from one topic where they're talking every day about COVID, and get your shot. Suddenly now they're talking about the Ukraine and Russia potentially violating the borders of Ukraine, when they could care less about the violation every day of our own country's border.
No.
Suddenly we're supposed to have our men and women die over Ukraine's border. There's something going on there. Now, whether or not that works out into the war that I think they want or not remains to be seen. If people are overwhelmingly against the war, I think it can be prevented. But if the media propaganda is successful and people are talked into believing that Russia is a big threat to global democracy, I don't fear Russia myself. I fear the globalists embedded within our own government in Washington much more than I fear Russia.
That's very well put, and actually I would agree with you. If you can sign up for his articles, folks, leohoman.com. He's an investigative reporter, independent journalist, and very, very cutting edge. That's why I have him on here 2-3 times a year. You say, mother of all supply chain shocks as China locks down ports. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs here. You say, brace for impact, acute impact. We're about to experience real deprivation, and it won't be just food stores. Auto parts from Canada will make car fixes more difficult. Pharmaceuticals, electronics, apparel. Just about everything we buy at Walmart comes from China. Imagine the impact if China makes its long-awaited military move on Taiwan, where the vast majority of the world's computer chips are manufactured. The mainstream corporate news outlets can't see the bigger picture, or maybe they do, but are afraid if they report it, the sleeping American populace might get even more rattled and restless than they already are. And then you conclude, but when you see articles like the one Saturday in the Detroit News and Friday in Bloomberg, you know even they are getting nervous. They have to be wondering if maybe those conspiracy theorists were right all along, but their controllers in the corporate boardrooms won't let them get to the bottom of the conspiracy to report the whole truth to their readers. Leo, the supply chain issue is just huge because it's already creating empty shelves. Give us a little bit more of your insight here. I don't want to just read. I want you to express your own thoughts.
Jan, we've got the trucker issue, which we've already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
At least 50% of truckers don't want this jab, and they're willing to quit their jobs rather than take it. So there's a big issue right there, because 80% of our goods in this country move by truck. Both Biden and Trudeau are saying truckers aren't allowed into our countries unless they show proof that they've been jabbed. So that's one big issue right there. If you were concerned about the supply chain, that would be the last policy that you would want to implement. So what does that tell us? They're not concerned about the supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, China is locking down ports that send some of these goods and services to the United States. 90% of our antibiotics in this country come from China. Yes, and 80% of the active ingredients in all prescribed medications come from China. So that's another issue in the supply chain that we're having to deal with. Imagine if war broke out on top of this. Then you would see a complete drying up of certain goods. They would disappear from store shelves because they would have to be requisitioned by the government for the troops. We've seen ammunition shortages over the last 2 years. That would completely disappear from store shelves. The signs do not look good. Then you've got the issue with food. There have been massive crop failures in most of the major grain-producing countries over the last 2 years. And China, again, is hoarding grain, which makes us believe that they're up to something. Are they preparing for war? Do they know something we don't know that's on the horizon? For some reason, China has now managed to corral 50% of the world's grain supplies in its silos. It's been buying up corn and wheat and other grains at a ridiculous rate in recent months, to the point where that is also going to drive up prices.
Leo, for almost an hour, we have reported on things that are not very good news. Do you have some good news for us?
I do. I mean, I feel like this trucker movement has the potential to change government policies, at least temporarily. If it's in God's will, if it's something that is biblical, we know it's going to happen, right, at some point or another. But there is the potential for at least short-term pullback of some of these policies that are enslaving people, some of the worst policies anyway. We just need to be prepared. We need to pray for the best and prepare for the worst.
I'm down to a minute or two. Do you want to sum up anything? Then I'm going to close.
I would just say for people to not live in fear.
Good.
that is one of the things that these globalists try to get us to do, is live in a state of perpetual fear. And the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind and calmness and peace. We need to spend time with God every day, keep our priorities straight, Jan, and I think we'll all be fine.
What we have described this hour, folks, I believe it's a spiritual battle. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6. And you may feel overwhelmed with the forces of evil coming against righteous people today. We've talked about it for an hour. Never forget God's condemnation of such people in Psalm 2. He says, "Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.'" See, God has the final say. He's just. Evil is always punished. God's people enjoy eternity without end. There's some rough roads before we get there, but ultimately we are going to be enjoying wonderful, peaceful eternity that has no end. Can you imagine that? Something that has no end. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. At 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Yes, we are living in perilous times, but God remains in control. Prayer changes things, and God is causing all that is happening to fall into place in these last days.